Podcasting 2.0 for December 4th, 2020. This is episode number 14. We've got stats and facts. Oh, yeah. Time for another board meeting on another Friday. Looking at what's been going on with Podcasting 2.0, I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and that guy you see over there, the Brad Pitt lookalike, it's the guy who eats SQL for breakfast, Mr. Dave Jones!
Wow. And this is a special, it's such a very special episode of Podcasting 2.0.
I'm really?
So excited to be here.
What makes it so special? Just because you're here?
You don't remember? This is the 14th, the 14 week anniversary of Podcasting 2.0.
Oh, honey, I forgot our 14th week anniversary. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's like when your girlfriend or whatever says, the young love girlfriend is like, you don't remember this is the first place we watched the sunset together 6 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. See, I remember those. But I often, I often mess up on the monthiversaries.
Yeah.
Like, well, don't you remember this was our first date? That was that day, like down to the day.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I kind of remember how many years ago, and I remember the date, but I don't remember the exact day.
I get a little fuzzy when we have to start parsing time zones.
Yeah, exactly. Was that in Lake Como in Italy, darling? I'm sorry. I forgot. I really can't recall all the time zones.
No. Ah. It's 14 weeks into this, and we're cruising.
We are cruising. I am so jacked about a number of things that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. And the first,
what are you jacked about?
What I'm jacked about right off the bat is the community chapter idea with for chapters, and I'm taking the two apps that have implemented chapters that works for me. In this case, is Hypercatcher and Podfriend, because it's like an additional slideshow to the actual podcast. And I found one of our producers of the No Agenda show, Sir, now Duke Dreb Scott, and he raised his hand and he said, because I had said on the show, hey, you know, help out with some chapters, you know, just kind of off the cuff type thing. Grab Hypercatcher, and I think I tweeted it once or twice, and a couple of people checked it out, because in Hypercatcher, you can actually add chapters while listening to the show, which is such a simple concept that you use the same application for viewing, listening, as you do for editing and for adding.
So that's really nice.
Yeah, and so that shows up in the back end. Now, my problem is, after 3.5 hours, you know, I can just now barely remember, after doing the feed and all this crap which comes after, you know, post-production, and I need to get my stuff out quick. You know, I can't wait around for a couple of days. I can drag it over to otter.ai to get the transcript rolling, which I have to remember to come back because it takes a couple hours. Mm. But then it's like, if I'm going to do chapters, like, no, I can't. I'm sick of myself. I can't hear myself and go listen for another 3.5 hours. And, you know, I tried writing down time codes. No, none of it works. And I just don't have that capacity.
Well, it breaks your rule of no post.
Well, exactly. Certainly no editing, no anything, just, you know, patching it up and getting it out. So he had been, I think he showed up on podcastindex.social, and he had a question about the HyperChat app, and David was helping him out. And then I sent him a DM. I said, you know, bro, do you want to just get an account so you can manage the whole thing, and then you can add images and go crazy with it? Mm. And he said, oh yeah, sure, I'd love to do that. So now what's happened, if you look at the last two No Agenda episodes, holy crap, it's filled with images, funny stuff. Phone Boy is adding his No Agenda quotes with time codes. All of this fantastic additional content that's being put in. And anybody can contribute. So, you know, anyone can still get Hypercatcher. And I think Martin may be working on this for Podfriend. I think that it should be some kind of requirement that you are able to, even just the small bits of feedback, it makes your app very unique.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
And I thought of another thing, and I think
Gina Haspel Frankfurt.
Yeah, exactly.
And Microsoft Bing.
Yeah, they got all. See, I mean, there you go. You're laughing because it's funny additional content. I love that. when people can contribute in that way. And I was thinking, since just as an aside, because, you know, the chapters, it's like, all right, if you're just listening and you look at the screen, a funny image pops up. And you could do it at a time code, and the host could even refer to it. Or, you know, you can use it as, I want to, you know, skip ahead to this segment. You can tap on it. Well, if a podcast app already has the transcript, can't you then also in the app, shouldn't you be able to perform a search on that transcript, which I would say presumably is already sucked in? I don't know if the app does it progressively, or if they suck, if it downloads the whole SRT file. I mean, can't you then say, I'm searching for this, and then it says, okay, here's five time codes where that comes up, and here's a sentence, and you just tap it, and it goes to that spot in the podcast?
That's complicated. That requires database, full text search. So you would need something like Elasticsearch server, or Weave Sphinx. There's a few different full text search server products out there, you know, open source and various things. But you would have to have something like that, because the transcript is humongous. And if you're talking about, you know, lots and lots of transcripts, that's going to get big real fast. Now, I mean, it's sort of the same problem with the person search, because you end up having to vacuum up all of the description fields of every episode. And I mean, you have 50 million episodes, and potentially, and let's just, you know, some percentage of them have a transcript, and the
transcripts. But Dave, can't we just put this on the blockchain?
Yeah,
put it on the blockchain. Yeah. Come on, doesn't that fix it all?
It doesn't even matter which blockchain, just the blockchain.
The blockchain, yeah. The blockchain. Put it on there.
You don't have to put it on there. You just say you're going to, and then everything gets fixed.
So I understand what you're saying, and I was immediately thinking while you were speaking, is this something the index could provide? But then I'm like, holy crap, no, this could be a huge additional project, which I think is basically what Apple is now trying to do with their transcripts.
Yeah.
They're making that searchable.
Yeah, they're doing it from the full audio, though. Like, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think they are actually doing the speech-to-text conversion to get the transcript, and then they're parsing, like, they're indexing that. I don't even think you have to have a transcript in your feed.
Oh, fuck those guys.
Well, but see, I don't think, but it's going to be crap anyway, because like, if they're using the same speech to text technology that Siri uses, that's not an exciting future.
No, but even Otter does a pretty crappy job at a lot of the transcripts. So, you know, it's all kind of minimal. It's just, I know how easy it is. Here's how I'm equating it in my head. If I go to the show notes for No Agenda Show, I have copy pasted the transcript file into that page in the outline, and you can do an on page search, and it'll basically highlight where that hit is, and it's you know, of course it's not regex, it's just a pure JavaScript on the page search. It's very, very fucking basic. So it can't, you know, it'll pick up words that are separated by another word, but that's about it. And then there's the time code. And so I do that. If I want to find something in a particular episode, I go to that page, I do a control F, and I search for the words. It's just an on-page JavaScript search. I see the time code, then I go to my app or player or whatever I am, and I forward to that time code. And I'm thinking, well, this is dumb, because this can be automated. And I was just wondering if it's possible in that rudimentary fashion. So not an overall search across all of these things, but in one episode, I just want to search that one SRT file, and then be able to click on that one time code in that one podcast that I'm playing at that moment. If I switch podcasts, it flushes the cache of the SRT.
Okay. I understand you now. Cause you typically as a typical IT developer, whatever you want to call me.
Yeah. First you said it's difficult and then you made it sound like only you could do it. And then it was going to cost me a lot of money. Yes. That was a typical IT guy. Exactly.
We can't do warp 8.4. The engines won't handle it. Oh, wait, they can.
This is exactly what it is. Yeah. This is why CEOs fail, because they don't understand this one dynamic.
Yeah. You never tell them exactly how long it's going to take and how much it's going to cost. You always overshoot. And then when you come in under it, you're a hero.
It's good to have an edible before the show. This is excellent. Yes.
So I think... I see what you mean now. And so like that, yeah. Because then you're just talking about like a straight, I don't know however many thousands of lines that is.
Right.
That's doable.
Because what I've noticed, and this is my job, is to notice these things, is that the thrill, I'm going to use the word, I don't use it lightly, the awesomeness of podcasting 2.0 is these interactions you do with the app.
Yes.
That's like boner time, because
it's double cream. It's double cream.
So where this really shines, both in excitement, dopamine rush, and in actual value, which we'll be talking about, in actual digital money, boosting is phenomenal. I mean, so especially when people also listening to a podcast, if you haven't done this, if you listen to the show for the first time, see if you can get on Sphinx Chat, sphinx.chat, and then find some of these podcast tribes, because you can boost as a seal of approval a number at your discretion, which is part of the fun. I used to have 1,337 for Leet, and then I saw my wallet dwindling, and I changed it to 404.
Drop that thing.
Drop that shit down.
404 is a great one, though.
Thank you. And it's very identifiable.
But, Marty, Tales from the Crypt, he came over to the No Agenda Tribe and did 13.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I saw that.
1,300.
And what's crazy, I saw it come in on the index node, the 1%.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was like, what is going on here? This is... No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But it's that stuff, and then... that being of some value for analysis for the podcaster. So in the chapter's case, it's, oh my God, this is, look at all this cool additional crap that was just created in the, we talked about the transcripts, which gives the listener something to do, like, oh, I'm looking for this. And by the way, I'm a heavy user of this, because I'm always looking for what we're talking about. I got to go find this. And it's of huge value
it could be of value for other. Okay, so just think about, I know No Agenda is a unique situation because you have an army of producers that most.
But is it really unique, or is that what podcasting 2.0 is?
I think that's, okay, that's a good point, because podcasting 2.0, the whole paradigm could. I mean, what we're trying to do, we talk about it in terms of value, value for value, and flipping that model, and you get kind of sidetracked into the money part of value for value. But if our goal is to revolutionize podcasting into podcasting 2.0 across the board, then that would encompass like every show having a small or some various size army of producers that are able to do those things.
I speak from some modicum of standing that every podcast has listeners who are doing stuff for that show, which I just for simplicity say they're a producer. Whether it's promoting the show, this is, you should be able to, which in most podcast apps, hey, I can promote this at this time code, and I can tweet it right away, and in one case, you get Martin's snazzy little timeline player, which is just a piece of joy. These are all differentiating factors of cool features that you can do with this app that that helps out. So these people, just like Dreb Scott, there's always going to be someone who raises their hand and says, yeah, I'll do some chapters. And you know what? he might burn out. They usually do. And then, you know, there's five other people who will jump in and maybe he'll come back. And, you know, that I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah, I can see that.
In fact, I see it as a necessary part of expanding what we're doing is this. Look, every other media ecosystem has this.
Well, that's the strength of, it's interesting because that is the strength of podcasting. And one of the differentiators of podcasting from other forms of media is the direct engagement between the podcast and the podcaster and the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a level of engagement there that just doesn't exist in really any other form of media. You see it a little bit when you get like a little bit of a popular, was it morning drive show? In a certain market, and they'll get a tribe of people who are, you know, like in trying to engage with the show. But there's a limit. You can't do much. I mean, because it's really audio only, and there's limited avenues for interaction to come back to the podcaster from that, or excuse me, back to the radio host from that tribe.
Well,
but in this regard, you have it's internet native, so
it's built into it. It's built into it, and you know, and the simplest of simple things, like tapping on Periscope and sending hearts or, you know, likes or super chats on YouTube, which involves actual money. These are all interactive features that have a playback feature as well, which is really cool. And one thing I know should be possible is regardless of how the value is flowing, if we're talking about the Lightning Network payments, Keysend payments, mm-hmm. It can be compiled into something for everyone to use as like a timeline. So no matter where it's coming from, I should be able to tell if someone has boosted a certain segment on my show from any random app, and I should be able to say, "Oh, someone liked this right here." Whether mm-hmm. whether an app will play that back for me, such as the Sphinx Chat, where you can go back and you can start the podcast and you see exactly where everyone boosted. I mean, these are very valuable interactions between the audience and the creator.
What I would love to see, I don't know if you saw that Mitch Downey from Podverse had some comments on the Mastodon, and he was talking about sound bites.
That's my next thing. I'm going to hound people for is to create those
sound bites. Yeah,
yeah.
And he was talking about, well, why don't we just do
chapters and sound bites as well? I saw that. I was like, oh, well, that's fucking smart because you should do it anyway, just by ending it by an end tag, right, or length.
Uh huh. And just put your take your sound bites out of, you know, and he just publish your sound bites as a chapters file, and then it's just like boom, boom. You know, you can have as many as you want.
And could you also publish your chapters file as a sound bites file?
There's no sound bites file. It's just
it's just URLs and time code or time codes and
duration. Yeah,
right. So, yeah. I guess what I'm asking is, will it be interchangeable?
It should be. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you had because you can have as many sound bites as you want. And so if you had,
because I ask is I wouldn't mind as an option being able to toggle the image off on a mm-hmm. chapter after X amount of time or at a certain time code, because after a while, it's just, you know, if the next chapter mark isn't until 45 minutes later and I'm still looking at, at Gina Haspel. Yeah. Gina Haspel, dead or alive. I mean, that gets a little annoying. Maybe it could switch back to the default image after you could set as long as you can set an out time, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's an end time in the chapter spec.
Oh, there is? Yeah. Well, then we're done.
Yeah, it's optional, but if this, most of these systems are going to be automated, so it should be fairly quick to put it in there. And then the apps, just as they're consuming them, you know, they just go out at that point. I've done something to wake up Hypercatcher on my phone when I looked at it earlier, because it's sending me push notifications of bookmarks, like as they're added, I guess.
Oh, so Hypercatcher? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You're logged in, so it's sending you the notifications that someone did a chapter?
Yeah, and I got a push notification that said John's cream.
Sexy.
That's evidently the title of one of the bookmarks.
And wow. Like,
and so, of course, I had to click on it. But, like, there's, yeah, I'm getting notifications.
Wait, so are you getting notifications of podcasts you subscribe to that someone puts a chapter marker in?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Excuse me. That's fantastic. I didn't know it did that.
Yeah, I've got like...
The shit. So you get a notification from the community that they've added a bookmark.
Evidently.
Oh, man.
This is what I'm seeing.
No, this is what I'm talking about. All right, our work is done here.
Our work is done. All right, next topic.
All right, so good to know, because I'm gonna see how... Now, has this soundbite is implemented, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it's implemented and it's implemented and it's being used. I'm looking at the tables right now.
Is it the exact same JSON?
No. Soundbite is purely an XML tag. There's no JSON component to it at all. So it exists in the feed. Whereas the transcripts and chapters,
but
the tag references an external JSON file.
Okay. Okay, so how are those two interchangeable then?
Well, if you had it would be interchangeable not within the feed itself, but you'd do the conversion. You know, you would go back and forth in software. Like what Mitch is doing is he's pulling in sound bites, and as people are creating sound bites in Podverse,
mm-hmm.
he outputs them as a chapter's file. As a JSON file.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah. So you just...
Because they're roughly equivalent in their specification, even though they're not really intended for the same purpose.
Right. But the time codes all match up if you want to.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And instead of doing a start time and a duration, you just do a start time and an end time, which is easy because you just add the duration to the start time and there's your end time.
Beautiful. So okay.
It's a quick conversion.
So... If I had that in the Freedom Controller, I could start adding that manually myself. The clip,
yeah, you could.
A mm-hmm. clip, okay. Well, I'll have to talk to my my roadie.
Yeah, don't bother him. He's really busy.
He's tuning guitars.
Yes, that's right.
He's really busy.
There's 6,785 transcripts mm-hmm. in the database currently, and there are. I'm just clicking through here and looking at stats. There's 2,600 chapter files in the database.
Okay. That's a good metric. That's a good metric to look at over time.
5,946 sound bites.
Not bad.
That's not bad at all. Now, really?
Didn't I see someone had an idea to create a feed or something out of just the sound bites?
Yeah, that was really cool.
I like that idea. Did that wind up getting done? Is there an endpoint for that?
No. Oh, no, there's an endpoint for the sound bites. Yeah, you can subscribe to the sound bites endpoint, and it just every time there's a new one that pops up in the system, you get it.
Oh, cool.
That would be a great virtual feed to subscribe to.
Yeah.
I would subscribe to it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Even just it's like sound cast bite. Coverage.
How do we do this? Is it done yet?
Yes, no, it's not done yet.
Does it work yet, Dave?
Are we there yet?
Oh, yeah.
I was on... Frederick Bjorman's podcast.
Yes, I was going to ask you how that went. This is
it was great. Yeah.
Now you're. I just wanted to say you're a real podcaster.
No.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Please. You are. Oh yeah. And certainly for a dude named Ben, man, you talk well.
Well, that is the
and you smell less than other squaws.
You straddled that so good.
No, you really do. You're a natural podcaster. Hey, look, you're the guy who has the donation set. You got the clips. I'm just like I'm your roadie here.
No,
I'm just showing up to the party.
ISO one. I think I know what ISO one is.
ISO one. Okay.
I keep saying and it's so annoying.
What did you say at the beginning?
I keep saying and it's so annoying.
Oh.
I keep saying and it's so annoying.
No, I'm the king of that.
I say,
it's just a bridge.
I'm trying to do better. I feel like I did better on Frederick's podcast. It was a learning experience.
So tell me about Frederick's podcast.
No, it's great.
Well, what's the name of the? It's not called Frederick's Podcast, is it?
It is not called Frederick's Podcast. And embarrassingly, I don't know what the title of his podcast is.
For purposes of this show, it'll be known as Frederick's Podcast.
It's Frederick's Podcast.
I have to put a link in the show notes, so we'll look that up.
What? Why don't I know this?
I don't know.
He's got...
Frederick's Podcast.
Are you literally looking at Frederick's
Podcast? Yeah, is it Flippin' Frederick? No.
If only there was a place on the internet you could go to look up podcasts.
Let me see. This is sad, Dave Jones.
Oh, okay. All right.
You got it.
I'm redeeming myself because what we have in the index is a thing called Borman.com podcasts. That's the title of it.
Really?
But that can't be right because there's no episodes.
It's Borman?
B-J-O-R-E-M-A-N. Frederick. I'm saying Borman.
Right.
But that, and I think that's the right pronunciation.
There's one episode from 2013.
Yeah, but that can't be right.
That can't be right.
Oh, here it is. Okay, I got it. It's called Kodsnack. That's my Swedish.
Kodsnack?
Yeah, okay.
And how do you spell that?
K-O-D... Oh. S-N-A-C-K.
Kodsnack. Kodsnack. This is Swedish.
Is that, hey, is that your...
Kodsnack in English. Yeah, Elskadai.
Oh, that's better.
Yes,
Do you know Swedish?
I just said that the only thing I know. Yeah, Elskadai.
Kodsnack. That's it.
I know two things in Swedish now. Yeah, Elskadai and Kodsnack.
And Kodsnack, okay. Yeah.
So you're not on yet? This is not on yet, Kodsnack?
No, he said it would drop on 12:15.
No, it's going to drop, eh? Nice.
Yeah, it's a hot drop.
It's a drop it like it's hot. What is this show about? A podcast by developers about anything interesting to developers. So let me guess.
Yeah.
You talked about developing.
These are real developers.
Okay.
These aren't fake. These are not
me. Not like the phonies over at Podcast Index.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Right. These aren't IT guys that pretend to be developers. Okay. These are like real ones.
Oh, woo. Okay.
So I was out of my league.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're marrying up now, I see. Very nice.
I am. I'm punching above my weight.
Yeah, that's it.
But it was a great talk. I mean, it was just me. It was me and him, and we were all over the map. I mean, like, we talked about, you know, obviously programming stuff and index and all that stuff, but we got into COVID and the difference between the mind and the brain. And
oh my.
We were all over the map. It was great. He's really easy to talk to. Great guy.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So 12:15.
He's the developer of the Mac Chapters app.
Right.
Yeah. And we found each other. I reached out to him and got him involved into the namespace, and we were able to merge our chapter formats together. And it
right.
was
I remember
a
now.
Beautiful, happy experience. Mm-hmm. And it was great. Yeah. So,
and they never had a nice. Fight. Beautiful.
Not yet. No, not yet.
Beautiful.
But that guess that, gets me, we got any more namespace? What we got namespace stuff we want to talk about?
Yes, I know this is the exciting part of the show.
Yes, this is what pays the bills.
Hello, ladies. Welcome to the Namespace Corner with Adam and Dave. We're going to talk dirty namespace to you.
Two female donors over the last 14 weeks.
Really?
I know for a fact that it's the namespace that brought them in. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, man.
Ladies cannot resist.
I just heard them cancel their subscriptions. Okay.
Yes.
Well,
yeah. Any other namespace? Like, because I've got the only thing I've got on mine.
Well,
people
is still a thing. I mean, this seems like a lingering thing that hangs out there, and then we get some energy and we yap about it, and then it kind of goes away. Where's people? Because people is in trouble.
People is in less trouble than location.
Location is lost. What can I
it's
say?
It's lost. It's off the radar. Nobody can find it. The people. I feel good, real good about people. I had a phone call. Oh, God. When was this? Well, we talked with Ben from the 5x5 or Fireside. Dan Benjamin mm-hmm. last week. So it was actually last week that I had a call from the Podchaser guys.
Podchaser.
Yeah, Podchaser. And if you look at Podchaser, they have a database. I think I posted it the other day in the Mastodon. They have a database of appearances of people on shows.
Right. Okay. So this is an external service and we're trying to integrate with them or be compatible?
Well, yeah, we're trying to make sure that we're compatible because, I mean, if you think about it, you got IMDb and places like that.
Sure,
that,
this makes sense. Yeah. This is definitely I didn't even realize this is exactly what they did. This is great. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, tell me what we're doing.
Yeah, so if you, I'll just search for Adam Curry. Yeah, there's Adam Curry.
There's that guy.
And it lists all the
shows. What if I just do Podfather? Let's see if it's any good. Podfather. And guess what? Fail.
Fail. Well, clearly they suck.
Obviously.
If you look up Adam Curry, there's you, yeah, and then it shows all your appearances. You see that?
I'm looking at him now. Let's see. Oh, yeah. I appeared on No Agenda, Buzzcast, Joe Rogan, 2 episodes. Very good. New Media Show, 1 episode. I think I've done 2.
It's got you being on Adam Carolla.
Yes, long, long time ago.
And on Austin Sessions. From 2013?
Possible, yeah. Huh. Yes, no, of course. I know exactly when that was. I've been on more since then. But okay, yeah, but people aren't using the people tag. People are people.
So this, like, what this would be is what we're going to recommend in the namespace tag for person is a URL link to that right there, where so if you have a person, you say Adam Curry, then you also have a URL that says podchaser.com/creator/Adam Curry, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. And
so it's a sort of a canonical reference to, since there may be more than one Adam Curry, this is the differentiator to say, no, I'm talking about this Adam Curry. And then they can and then you also have the built-in verification that they're doing on their back end, which is sort of their whole business is to do this type of stuff where they do verification that people, when people say they've been on a podcast, that they actually were on that episode.
Okay. And alternatively, what can you link to from the people tag?
You can link to anything you want. It's okay. Really just comes down to a matter of wording. So if you had what we're going to recommend is that people link to the podchaser.com profile for the person they're in question.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as fallbacks, you could link to a Wikipedia, their blog, you know, a project there. You could link to anything as a fallback just to have something.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the podchaser.com reference, it would be considered, you know, better, more authoritative because you have their whole work behind it.
Right.
And they're working with companies to provide this service to.
Sure.
To them.
So, sure. Interesting. Okay. So that's just a people tag and then infinite number of names and URLs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And spelling, and how is that handled? If it's Adam C. Curry, Adam Clark Curry.
As long as you link to the creator, then you can differentiate.
I support this 100%. Mm-hmm. Actually, 99%. If Podchaser will link my profile to Podfather, then I'm 100%. I don't want to spike anything, but how cool would that be? I'll even pay for it like a custom domain name.
It's a vanity URL.
Vanity, yeah. Vanity profile. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Isn't that exactly the same thing? Vanity profile. Oh, my.
Yeah, it beautiful. Is. Beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you mm-hmm. can put Podfather in there. And as long as it links to Adam Curry, you're gold.
Cool. Very good. And so, yeah. And this is nice.
Yeah, so I think, and there's also an extra piece. There's optional stuff in there. As well, and I think what we've settled on is the name, clearly, the mm-hmm. link, whatever that happens to be, and then you're going to have a role and a type, excuse me, a role and a group. So the role would be like guest, host, you know, co-host, producer, blah, blah, blah. And then the group is just very optional, if that's even a thing. I don't know if things can be very optional, but group is as long
who are we satisfying with this group nonsense that you can't explain? Be
satisfying
honest. Be honest.
Potential. No. It's not bad. The potential for people to get very specific with who they credit on their podcast.
Yes.
And I would think there are probably some people out there that want to get very specific. And
I do. Yeah, I'm one of them. So I'm very interested. Yeah.
They want to think.
So I could say executive producers as a group and associate executive producers as a group. And could I also say end of mixes as a group? End of show mixes?
Well, the groups listed are the official groups within the podcast taxonomy project. And that's what we talked about once before.
Yes. Okay. And is this on a GitHub or something?
It is. Yeah. And it's being finalized right now, but I've got a preliminary list. So that's why the group thing is very optional, because like the way they list it out is they say, you know, they give like a group producers. Mm-hmm. And then there's various subtitles within producer. And then they may say audio engineer or engineering, and then there's various ones in there, and blah 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 blah. So they have these little groups. If you just leave the group thing out altogether, then it assumes you're talking about cast, which would give you host, co-host, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Which is what 99% of people are going to use. But then if you wanted to get more specific, you could put the group in there and then say, okay, audio engineer, lighting guy, that, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's no link to the podcast taxonomy project.
They have not officially finalized the list yet. Okay. So I didn't link to it, but we can roll it out without that, since the group, but I don't think it's secret. I think they'll let us publish it. When I talked to them the other day, they said, this is basically just,
well, I have to see it to know if I like it. Is that weird?
No, not at all. I can forward it to you. I'll send you a copy.
But I mean, because I'm just looking at it, should be linked to the namespace docs. But yeah, ask them first, whatever.
Yeah, I haven't got that far. Yeah. I'm having some back and forth with Ben Slinger from Podchaser, and they're
Ben Slinger.
Yes, great name, huh?
Yeah. And meet his brother Gunn.
It sounds like
a DJ
he should
name.
Be in a sci-fi.
Top of the hour, everybody. Ben Slinger on the big WHTZ 100. Oh,
that is a great DJ
name. It's a great DJ name. I just tested it. Took it for a ride.
You did. You did a test drive.
All right. So I get it. I think this is very clear now. We just have to, I think we just need to know the actual roles and groups. I'm sure they've got it down.
It's fine.
The taxonomy means they took it apart, so they understand. And then the lost bastard child of location.
Yeah, location is completely off the rails. We're going to rewrite this thing. It's funny, all the pieces are there. It's just that trying to get location, the really hard thing is trying to get the specification of how you want it documented. You know, and I mean, there's like 10 different ways you can give a location.
Well,
and so everybody's got their preference, and we're just going to have to settle on something. I mean, that, you know,
what does, let me think about this for a second. Cause I think what it appears to me, the issue at the core, besides how do you document it, how do you write it down, is everybody has a preferred way of location.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I like the Maidenhead locator,
of course,
which is amateur radio, satellite type. So I think satellite people use it too.
Okay.
Because it's for footprint, I think. But then we have GPS, you know, GNSS type stuff. We have zip code, country codes. So there's all these different
ways
to do it.
Straight latitude, longitude.
Straight Latin long. It's like, so what we don't really have is a good example of a use case, I would posit, that drives that decision.
I think the problem is there's two use cases that compete with one another, and they both have the total validity. So the first use case would be a podcast player that wants to show you the location And for that, for the podcast, what would be best for the podcast app is if it's just a name like Stockholm, you know, or Brussels. I mean, that would be the simplest because I just rip it out of the tag and put it right into the user interface.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do any API lookups or any of that kind of stuff. But then you have this other use case when you're talking about aggregators and indexes and directories where they want to assemble, they want to start to do more complex data where they figure out who's in a region and how, you know, interest discovery and all this kind of jazz. And that's also a valid use case. But for that, LatLon may be better or OpenStreetMap IDs may be better or blah, 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 blah. So it seems like there's two perfectly valid use cases. One is simple, one's complex, and you want to be able to support both in a single tag. So dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, I see the issue, but what you didn't really give me is a real use case example. I understand, you know, why do you want just what was your example, Brussels or whatever? Why do you want that? What is the point? What are we using this for?
To find local podcasts for association. So, and here's the other issue. Does the location refer to where the podcast is recorded
or what it's about? Or does
it refer to what the podcast is about? And I think 90% of the time it's going to be what it's about. I mean, cause nobody cares where the podcast is coming from necessarily. I mean, I'm here in Birmingham, Alabama, but I mean, that's not what the podcast has nothing to do with Birmingham, Alabama. The podcast is about something else. But right. So I don't even know what to put in podcasting 2.0 as far as the location tag. Do we put Austin? Do we put Birmingham? But see, there's this other class of, or maybe we don't put a location tag, but there's
Go ahead. No, please continue.
There's this other class of podcasts where it's very applicable. I mean, like it's extremely important, you know, relevant to the nature of that show as to whether, where, you know, like a location specification. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, what would you put down? What would you put down for No Agenda?
Gitmo Nation. That's my location. Okay. If you're looking from podcasts from Gitmo Nation, that's my location. That's what I would put in the feed. No joke.
Okay. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's important information because that means that name tag is like it's critical, like just a straight string location is important, and the other stuff is less so.
Well, all right, let me approach this from an OG podcaster standpoint.
Go.
If I had any, I agree with you that the only reason for me to put a location into my feed would be for search purposes of people looking for a particular podcast that either was from or about a particular place. And in my mind, that can be fictional or nonfiction. And I would say Gitmo Nation, and I would expect there to be many other podcasts. It would be almost like a tag. But why not say Moonbase Alpha is just as valid? And we do want to build for the future, actually. So,
what's the lat line of Moonbase Alpha?
You can't get that. It's not important. I mean, hey, you ever hear of Google Maps, bitch? Look it up. That's my point. I think we fixed it. Yes.
Okay. It's done. All right. Next.
I think it should be. Yes. I understand the documentation problem. I totally get it. So maybe you approach it from the reverse and say, this is a code that can be used in search for, in a geographic search of podcasts, it would be more podcast content. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's your out. Instead of podcast creation, say, based upon, just like people. I think you have to handle it just like people. you know, just like a person is in this, a place is in this, and that can be the place that it's made or the place that it's about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that next level of granularity, I don't know. I think you have to, you know, the person has to do something themselves at some point because they have better AI than we can build. Is this really about Stockholm or is it from Stockholm or is it both? But I think you approach it from it's a search code. It's something that will be searched, a search. And instead of here's what you use it for, you know, you get this information and here's what you get. And then you can do all kinds of stuff with it. If you know Stockholm, you can get the Latin long. You can get the Maidenhead. You can do all that stuff. You can get the nearest airplane navigation beacon. I mean, you can do a million things.
Some of the location tag is suffering from tech overthink.
Yes, exactly.
And, which is always going to be the case. And some of it is truly kind of tricky to figure out. But I think I'm falling down I think I'm falling on the side of making it more flexible. It's always the right answer to make your requirements very, very small and to make everything else as optional as possible.
Right. So that's why you have country, locality, lat long, and OSMID, OSMID, OpenStreetMap ID. So I could choose what I want to put in there. If I say, okay, I just want to put in country.
Yeah.
Then I would use the country code US, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Or GN for Gitmo Nation.
Here we go. You've just... Locality. Human-readable place name is preferred by the podcast publisher for display in an app. Valid values are House of Parliament or North Michigan. So Stockholm would be valid. And I could do, I guess, what is Sweden? I think it's SE.
SE. No, you nailed it. It's SE.
Things I learned today. So I could use the TLD. Yeah. I could use the country ISO 31661 alpha 2 country code, and I could use the locality by saying Stockholm, and I could forego the lat long and the OSMID.
Yeah.
It's fine. Publish it.
Yes, I think that's because there was a recommendation for having a type in there.
Wait. This element must contain at minimum a country code. Well, there goes my Gitmo Nation.
Well, I mean, you can have that's where the type comes in. So you always have a name, mm-hmm. and the name can be anything. But then you can also this is where we're gonna have to rewrite it because the issue, the comments that we've been plowing into that thing, what you're seeing in the spec doesn't match what the current thinking in the comments is. And so the current thinking in the comments is you have a type identifier where you say, okay, you have a name and that name could be Stockholm, mm-hmm. but then you have a type and the type specifies what location information you're going to give it. So if the type is country code, then you give a country code. And if the type is OSMID, then you give an OpenStreetMap ID. Mm-hmm. And if the type is this other, you know, latlon, then you give a latitude, longitude. So you can leave all that out and just say, oh, here's a name. Mm-hmm. But you can also put in type equals whatever, and then you're expected to give it what you declared in the type.
Got it.
That seems fine to me. And I mean, I think that's where we're going to end up as a starting point. And I mean, I don't see any other way to do it, honestly.
Yeah. Do you think that who else has a dog in the hunt?
This is five or six people in the comment threads. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Yeah. And none of them are bad suggestions. They're really not. They're all trying to account for various things. But I guess what I don't want to end up with is just something that's used pure. I don't want to put a tag in there. It's only going to be useful for metrics.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. You know, I agree wholeheartedly.
Because who cares if somebody ultimately, who cares if there's some database somewhere where a guy is enjoying looking up how many podcasts are in a certain region. Because what you really want to know, if it's useful for discoverability, let's do it.
Right.
If it's useful for user happiness in a podcast app,
yes,
let's do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
But no, I don't care about database nerds who just want to know stuff. So anyway, that's my thinking on it, but we're getting there.
Yes. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, oops, what that wasn't supposed to happen. I was going to play some porn music and say, this concludes our namespace segment. I screwed it. It wasn't the right porn music.
Coming soon to OnlyFans namespace.
I had this, wait, maybe this was it. This is what I wanted to play. I'm going to get an ad. Ah, damn it.
Oh, you messed it up.
Yeah, no, I had that one all queued up, but it was YouTube, man. Those guys are so out of inventory. They got to put 15 ads in
this
front
is
of
Ron Jeremy.
Here we go.
You're listening to Porno Science.
He is getting sued by everybody in the planet.
Of course. And that is Namespace Talk with Adam and Dave on Podcasting 2.0. It's bigger than ever before, baby. Yay.
End of show. Yeah. So, I think we're good. So wrap up namespace, I think we're going, I'm looking at like at the end of January, like January 31st to close phase two. But I mean, that's totally flexible. I just want to get through the holidays.
Yeah. We need a little time, a little extra time. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited. So and value will be in there.
As long there's a lot of discussion going on with value.
Yes. Right. I've seen, Brian of London, he's doing a valiant effort to get Hive, developers into using the value block for their chain.
Yeah. And the web monetization.
The web monetization is an interesting one. Let me tell you about this. Because
did you do any research on it? Because I did a little bit.
I sent you an email. Someone reached out to me from the web monetization project, someone who works there, and said, hey, you know, I heard your podcast. It felt a little formy to me, but I could be wrong. It felt a little bit. No, the guy's high enough. I'm glad we brought this up because I haven't replied to him yet. So he said, I hear what, you know, I heard the podcast. I'm listening to, you know, with a link about your project, link to podcastindex.org, which to me felt a little formish. And he said, you know, this is what we're doing. We're creating a web monetization standard, and this is the company. I forget the company name.
Coil,
thank you. And you go look at Coil, and what it seems to be is one or more Silicon Valley people who made money maybe in PayPal, I'm not sure, or they were in some
Ripple.
There we go. See how good my story is? Thank you. Ripple. And it may be an offshoot of Ripple. I'm not quite sure how connected those two are. And they have a grant, and the grant is $100 million. And to be honest, my first impression was, oh, okay, they want to create a standard. The money, I think the conversion runs through them, or they have some part of the fiat to whatever web monetization is. That wasn't really clear from the consumer marketing side. And they're, in essence, giving out $100,000 grants to small companies who either have websites with content or content creators, as long as they adopt this standard, which is a JavaScript meant to send payments, micro payments in real time to the creators through this system. Do I have that kind of right?
It's what it seems like to me. Yeah.
So the part I don't like is the grant part.
Yeah. It's this. I watched three videos of Stefan Thomas. I think is his name. He's the CEO of Coil. Watched three videos of him explaining how Interledger works, which is evidently the backbone of the way the web monetization thing works.
Is it quote unquote just another blockchain, or is it something else?
It's different. And honestly, I still don't know I still can't grasp entirely what's happening there. I gave it a valiant effort and I'm still not real sure, but you know, the thing that gives me pause about it, like, is that he used to be the CTO at Ripple, and it seems very tied to XRP.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not like, I'm not saying it's a scam or anything. I don't think that that's the case at all, but I'm not, I guess what concerns me is that it seems this web monetization quote unquote standard seems very tied to Coil, the company.
Yes. That's what I deduced as well. It's like all the conversion goes through them and then everybody can use it. But and I'm sure this is some chain and ledger that's open that anyone can look at. I'm sure it's just adopting a standard. And I've been a part of, well, one really, and you know, we're doing some additional work on a standard now. Mm-hmm. But if you drive it through incentives of cash, to me that's no different than I'll pay you $1,500 to take the COVID vaccine. You know, it's like, no, it's like people gotta want this. They gotta want to do it. And see, I mean, I'm sure people see the benefit, but once you're tied to any organization with a grant, and a grant is, you know, it's not like, here's your money, enjoy. There's always stuff tied to it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You have a master, and, you know, and with Bitcoin, no master. Certainly, right. There's no grants. I mean, I'm sure there's grants, but you know what I mean? It's like the grant shouldn't be tied to the... To the protocol or whatever it is they're doing. I mean, so who's driving that? Who showed up and started talking about it? Do you remember?
I think it was Ben from Castapod.
Because we may be way off base.
We may, I'm
just giving you my impression. I think you're doing the same.
Totally, I'm totally just speaking from first impressions, and I could be completely wrong about all of this.
Yeah,
but. I'm having such a difficult time understanding how it worked and how it exists outside of the outside of Coil, the company. That, I mean, based on what they said in their presentations, it should, like, there should be multiple people involved. Other companies can get involved in it, but I'm not sure. Like, at some point, you're going fiat. You're doing conversions here, and so somebody's got to pay fees somewhere. And the only way I can imagine that this works when you're doing these microtransactions across a ledger and then doing a conversion back into fiat is that these things get batched together in some way. And then there's a large batch conversion process that happens so that you get the fee as low as possible. And then there's an arbitrage somewhere for the company that's doing it to make a profit. And like, So this sounds extremely difficult to set up. I mean, and I don't know, I guess it just strikes me as one of those quote unquote standards that just kind of always limps along and never gets beyond one company.
Yeah.
Because I think it's been around for a couple of years now, and I'm not sure that it's like, okay, well, if Coil folds, then the standard folds.
Right.
I don't know. It's just the whole thing sounds a little strange to me. Maybe somebody else can clear it up. You know?
Well, you know, really with the, since I dove into Lightning, and of course I've been ramping up to this for a couple of years with my conversion to really, you know, seeing the value in Bitcoin just by itself. And as I dig deeper into the material, I see that, you know, Bitcoin still is the mama, you know, it's the big mama of the whole kit and caboodle. Everyone converts out of Bitcoin essentially into these secondary coins, but really we're just now. And I think and this is just my view. And you know, if you don't agree, fine. You know, you don't need to call me out because I don't know what I'm talking
about. Yes, you do. You must call.
Yeah, call me out because I don't know what I'm talking about. But my view is that we needed this secondary layer, which I see as Lightning, because Lightning is Bitcoin and it makes so much sense. So we can, you know, do all these faster transactions, real-time transactions, write funky contracts that you know, can be handled at execution layer, you know, instead of doing it with yet another blockchain with you know, conversion to XRP. And I think everyone's trying to incorrectly, I think, solve the problem of, oh, well, how are we going to, you know, get people to understand you put your credit card in here and then you've got Bitcoin there. And to me, I look at this from a different perspective. You know, I don't need a company to hold my hand, you know, with some, you know, web monetization that looks official. I don't need any of that. What I need is a reason for Bitcoin to be fun to me. So if I go and get a podcast app that has a wallet in there, oh, okay, well, now I understand at least what I'm doing. Okay, I need to get some kind of money into this so I can send money through this app to podcasters and I can boost stuff and do other things. I think podcasting will make learning Bitcoin fun for a lot of people. Give them something to do instead of changing money and trying to figure out, how did I lose? What fee did it get taken? You know, this is the stuff that hangs people up, because that's all you're doing.
We overestimate the onboarding problem, I think, a lot of times. Because that's where everybody gets hung up in Bitcoin, is the onboarding problem. But, I mean, if you go back, okay, think about 10 years ago. Did you ever think that your grandma would be downloading Chrome and installing it on a Windows computer?
Oh, exactly. These things do take time. They do take time. But yeah. Absolutely. Of course. Your grandma struggled more with web TV, if you remember that piece of crap.
Oh, yeah.
With the remote control trying to hit letters.
Well, that was Microsoft. Wasn't that Microsoft?
I think they bought them. They bought them, I think. I think Chris Jacob was involved in that deal.
Oh, is that, that's your buddy?
Yeah. I think Sir Chris, I think he was involved in that.
Because that was all part, like, their big push was that it has MSN network and all that. You know, you can get to the MSNs.
You see how you can just look towards history and see that none of this is permanent? And I'm looking at you, Spotify.
Yeah.
And
you want to hear the Spotify release their, like, shows of
their stats,
year
their stats.
Or something. Mm-hmm. Something like that. It's top podcasts of 2020.
Oh, yeah. No, lists, of course. I'll have to ask Dvorak to explain again how these lists are made in corporate America. It's hilarious. It's a lunch, basically.
Okay, so we did a one clip of this show last week with Dan Benjamin. And if we're out here on the outside, we're outside of the Spotify ecosystem. We can't get to the, you know, we can't listen to the Spotify exclusives.
Yeah.
They're all locked behind the silo.
That's
right. Paywall. If you want a taste of what you're missing, of how good the quality of exclusive shows is, Clip 2 is a show with Addison Rae, who is the number 2 earning TikTok influencer.
Oh my.
I think she's like 18, 19 years old, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's according to yet another list.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes.
By the way,
yes.
People, these lists are crap. You know that, right? Like, these lists are compiled according to interests involved in the list people.
That's list inception.
Yeah, of course.
List of lists.
It's the list of lists. Exactly.
By the way, the TikTok thing is, I should be more specific and not just say thing. The TikTok culture amongst top influencers is very weird.
Oh, it's gonna get old.
Have you seen the stuff where they have some sort of like company that rents mansions to top TikTok influencers?
Sure, of course. So that's their set.
Man, that is.
It's a whole industry. Yeah, but it's all based on one of the basic sins, vanity.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, then that play clip, too. So let's hear what we're all missing.
Oh, Mom, let's fill everyone in on my 20th birthday. So my 20th birthday, big number because 20 is no longer a teenager. My friend, Bryant, set up a kind of like a little birthday dinner for me. And it was really sweet. And we went to a restaurant. We all sat at like small tables. It was like 4 people at each table. Really small event. Probably there was like 12 people there, but there was only 4 people at each table. Plus my family, my mom and dad and brothers were there. So it wasn't really like a lot of people.
This is some exclusive stuff, Dave.
But we all kind of just sat. They wrote little notes on like these cards. Oh. And then I got to read them when I got home. And then we cut the cake. Oh. We didn't really do much besides eat. That was it. We weren't like standing up and like dancing or anything. It was just like a restaurant, you know? So we
the French Laundry with Gavin Newsom.
just ate food. And then blew out the candles. I blew out my birthday candles. I had so many cakes on my birthday. The best one was the one Courtney got me, the flower one. From Flower? Is that what it plays called?
I am just realizing we're doing this podcast all wrong, Dave. We should be talking more like this. So when we talk about the namespace, you know, it's just namespace. Yeah. But we did have a, you know, we have location issues and issues, problematic. It's problematic, the namespace, especially when it comes to location.
It was so good. The heart one?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, that was the best cake I've ever had. It literally tastes like cream cheese icing, but the entire cake is cream cheese icing.
Oh my
But wasn't it like
goodness.
Doughy or something?
Yeah, it was. Awesome. It was like mushy. Like it was like fondant and cream cheese icing mixed together into a, mixed with a little bit of cake. So good.
It was so pretty.
And it was beautiful. Like, yeah. And I kind of liked the crunchy outside of the icing with that little.
I know. And I don't usually
this
like
great.
Me like either.
But I could listen to this all day.
Yeah, that was the best cake ever.
But the view at your birthday was amazing on that top.
The view was so pretty. Yeah.
So amazing.
It was so pretty.
Yeah. So my favorite gift I got was probably either the sage or.
Stop. Really?
Yeah, that was a really good gift, actually, because it was thoughtful.
It was a great gift.
Sage. That was a nice gift.
Yes.
Overall, it was a really good birthday. I think this is one of my best birthdays yet.
Oh, my God, that is amazing!
Wait a minute, Dave. Let me just fix myself here.
Okay.
Right. I feel better now. Shot myself.
Yeah, so after you go rinse your brain out with soap, that is... Okay, so I went through and listened to some shows on there over the last few weeks, and they're all this way. They're all so boring.
Mm-hmm.
They're just boring.
Yeah.
I can't explain it any other way. So if you listen to the same thing with Brene Brown, we played some of her from the first shows before she went exclusive. So then I went back and I listened to her exclusive show, and it's boring. And it's something about like, there must be something psychological about guaranteed money, losing control of your content, being scripted, all this stuff that makes your stuff boring.
Yep. Yeah. You
like,
nailed
who
it.
Who wants to
you
listen to the way your cake tastes? I mean,
this is why I have no issue with what Spotify is doing.
Yeah, keep doing it. Keep, please.
Yeah, do more of it. I go back. Look, there's a million examples of this. I'm going to give it one more time. The America Online example. It was a safe, well-protected. You could get a little risque here and there. Oh, yes, this is a great place to be. You've got mail. But then people heard about this thing called the internet. And out there somewhere is all the dangerous stuff, all the cool stuff. We want that, AOL. And AOL begrudgingly said, well, okay, but you have to click on these five screens to say, I understand the risk of using a browser. And people used the browser and they found the porn and they never came back. And AOL became a dial-up company.
If you took, there's some, so when we get ready for this show, you know, we're like, okay, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. All right, kick it. And we just start recording and everything just comes out. If we were to take this show and stick it into Spotify and put a Folgers commercial at the beginning and then a mid roll for, you know, Prudential Live, I don't know. I'm just making crap up. And then you say, okay, we have this segment. We're going to talk about this and this segment. We're going to talk about this. And it's like, it just loses any sense of entertainment whatsoever.
Well, it's all subjective. And I'm sure there's a market for these podcasts. Otherwise, they wouldn't be investing in it. But the world is big. And while we're on that, there's three things we need to do. We need to thank some people. We were going to give some stats. Why don't we thank some people first? Then I want to run through some stats with you, which will take us into the final wrap-up of Lightning and Value Block.
Yeah, sure. Let's see here. I've got a stack of paper. We got some good donations this week.
I'd like to remind everybody, that we operate under the value for value system with the entire podcastindex.org project. Dave and I, none of the three partners, including Eric, we don't take a salary. We don't know if it'll ever come to that, but the index does run on the value that we receive from the people who have who perceive the value of what we're doing. That is sometimes developers, it's fans of podcasts, it's podcasters, it's people who understand and like technology and like seeing things move forward. And all we ask is that you consider how valuable this is to you. There's no other charge for the use. The index is shared. The API is open. We're clearly putting time and effort and energy into it. So all we ask for in return is some value. It could be time, talent, treasure. Now you see the developers, what they're putting into it is, of course, astronomical. But we also have people who just need to support us financially, and we love thanking them because often a recurring donation can mean an entire server that runs to complete the mission of preserving podcasting as a platform for free speech and retooling it into a platform of value for everyone.
I like the value perception or whatever.
Yeah, reception for perception. I know. I just came up with that. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
These are some. We'll thank some value perception engineers. How about that?
There you go.
We got a first donation is anonymous, $200. Wow. A message. Yeah, it says no notes and no credit wanted. Just happy to contribute.
Oh, thank you very much, anonymous.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's always helpful.
Very appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a single donation. $200 is just, I mean, $200 is, that's a third of our hosting fees for the month. I mean, that's almost an entire month right there.
It really is. It's fantastic.
It's awesome, yeah. I'm out of order here. I'm going to get, there was another one that was a little bit big. Let's see if I can find, oh yeah, here it is. So I'll kind of do these in a little bit better order. This one is, let me make sure it's not anonymous. No, it is not. This one is Brian Pollock, and he donated $100.
Wow. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
He's
got a message that says, contributing the value I can to support an important project to help make sure podcasting evolves in the future as an open medium of communications. ITM.
ITM to you, my brother. Nice. This is why I need the tag Gitmo Nation, because I got people who live there.
Would this be... Yeah, that one goes with that one. Okay. Here it is.
I'm not hearing you crumple them up and throw them on the floor like you usually do.
Am I not?
I didn't hear it.
No, I'm crumpling. I'm a crumpler.
Okay. I'm a folder. You're a scruncher.
Somebody gave us a donation that says, this is a one-time paper crinkle sound donation. I really enjoy the sound. Keep up the good work. As a podcast listener, I would benefit from a list of podcasts that are using 2.0 features and tags so that I can check them out. I listen to every podcast that Adam is on at 1.2 speed, and I refuse to stop. He says, art be damned.
All right.
I'm not trying to rush through episodes. It just sounds more natural to me. Oh, he signed it Luke. Okay, so Luke. Where's Luke? I'm just out of control.
It feels a bit like your Luke. Code, actually.
Hey, that hurts. Okay, Luke gave us $10. Luke Presley. And okay. So, Luke, here's your... paper crinkle.
Very satisfying.
All right. The next one we got here. Oh, this is a $20 donation from Jorn. And he does not have a note. I don't see one anywhere. No, it looks like it's just a $20 donation.
All right.
Thank you, Jorn Schar. Thank you, Jorn. And then we have, there's a good note here from David Metis. He did a $10 a month subscription. And he says, Dave and Adam, hey, this is Metis rhymes with, no, I'm sorry, Metis rhymes with, he says rhymes with fetus.
Yay. Got Got it.
Okay. From this is Meet us from Fun Fact Friday with Leela and David.
Oh, hello.
And this is great. He says, I heard y'all lost a $10 a month donor, so I decided we should replace it for you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
He said, my very long-term goals are to be a full-time value-for-value podcaster. Vow of poverty, I know. I want to ensure that there is a place for independent podcasters and the big companies don't try to lock us all out. Well, now I got to figure out how to get all of this code implemented in my feeds. Weekend project.
Fantastic. And if you look, who are the hosts? Now, we have, if you go to newpodcastapps.com, newpodcastapps.com, there's a list there of apps that support the 2.0 features, and you can search by function and also the hosting companies who support this and hosting applications, because Castapod, I think, is there an app, an application.
Yeah, that and that was Fun Fact Friday, looks like the name of his podcast.
Nice. Get it rolling, brother. Get some sats.
So here's I got this one was out of order. This was Christopher Tonkinson gave us $50 single time one time donation.
Nice.
And his message was rock on, guys.
Back at you. Right on.
We commit to rocking.
Yes. For those about to rock, we salute you.
And finally we got a new automatic monthly subscription from Kevin Roa for $5 a month, and I could not find a note from Kevin.
Kevin, I think, is a no agenda guy.
I think is that name sounds familiar.
So. Yeah, it does. Thank you, Kevin. Very nice.
And that is so. Those are the donors.
Listen, to who, hold on a second. I'm sorry, because before it scrolls off, I'm looking at the no agenda troll room. And I see people chatting. I use regex to change season and episode stuff on video files. And it's like, well, it's because iTunes is messed up. And like, well, at least they're working on a namespace. They're just talking about us right in the chat room. That's fine. And this is completely unrelated. They're not listening to us.
It's not on the stream.
No, okay. No, not at all. Not at all.
That's funny. So that was the donations from what we call this. Is that fiat donations? Is that what we're doing?
These are main. These are all fiat donations. They come through our PayPal. Now we do have a Lightning widget at podcastindex.org, and you can use that, or just click on that big red donate button. It's red for a reason, people. And if you're listening to this show and you're listening right now, still the Sphinx chat app, crank up those value sliders. 100 sats a minute. Keep it coming.
Put them at 11.
Boost.
Okay, so we got Lightning stats. We've had almost a full month of Lightning.
Is it 3 weeks or almost not quite 4 weeks? I don't think. Have we? Well, the report I ran was for November, and we only have 3 weeks in November.
Yeah, so it started on November 11th. Mm-hmm. So yeah, okay, that makes sense. All right, so this for 3 weeks from the 11th through the end of the month. What I found interesting, you'll see, well, if you just add up the dollar value of all the sats from per minute, I didn't include like boosts or anything like that. I just thought these were more interesting. Per minute sats that hit the index node, that's 1%. The total dollar value of those sats is $7.50.
That's without the boosts.
Without the boosts, yes.
And with the boosts, because I think boost is a part of it.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I just wrote that.
I think it goes up to $11.
$11 or $12. We're in double digits.
Well, this is important because this is so. Just to explain what we're talking about here, on the Sphinx.chat app that have implemented the value block with the Lightning nodes, Lightning IDs, and the splits. Please see the sexy namespace for more details. it's a very sexy namespace of. Each minute listened, 1% goes to the Sphinx chat app, which will be our standard default for the app that you're listening to the podcast on. 1% goes to the index, and 98% goes to the podcaster. All of this is voluntary. Any podcaster can change these splits and these destinations at will in their RSS feed. We suggest a portion for the app and for the index because it's value for value, and all the other stuff you can cut up amongst your buddies, your friends, your co-hosts, whatever you want. So when 100 Satoshis goes through, 1% goes to the app, 1% goes to the index. So the overall value flow in 3 weeks has been about $1,000 has been transmitted while enjoying podcasts, either playing them in real time or enjoying extra pieces and boosting. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so. So you could say, well, if you're only talking about per minutes and not boost, then roughly $750 has flowed through the system.
That's what, six podcasts?
Yeah. Well, and okay, so the more interesting aspect of this to me than even the money part was
the number of transactions.
There was 12,160 minutes of podcast listening through Sphinx in 3 weeks. That translates into 202 hours of listening,
which is how many days?
Ooh, gosh.
4 days?
No, that means 72 hours is 3 days. So roughly.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, 200. Yes, of course.
Almost 10 days.
Say a week, yeah, 8, 9, 10 days. So holy crap.
Worth of podcast time spent listening. Now, like I said, I excluded the boost. So that's only per minute split transactions. So that's an accurate count of. There was 202 hours of podcasts listened to through Sphinx chat.
So we're going to start surfacing this number.
Yeah, on the site.
Yeah, because that is so sexy. $1,000 has been running through just a handful of podcasts.
Yeah, it's really only, it's just a few. I mean, like there's...
And okay, here's my experience with this. It's blowing my mind. It's gotten so regular that, I use Thunderhub for the Index Lightning node, and you can see a running, it's kind of like a feed of when a payment comes in, and it'll tell you, how many seconds ago, how many minutes ago, how many hours ago. And more often than not, I'll see three payments, and this is just the 1%, three payments come in. At the same timestamp or within the same minute, but it's always one. Always. Doesn't matter when I watch, when I look, almost always. And then all of a sudden, the other day, I think 2 days ago, all payments stopped around 4 p.m. Central Time and didn't really start again until 11. And I got freaked out. I'm like, something, because this is what I do. I analyze trends and I have kind of a neural networking capability. Like, something's wrong.
You texted me. You were like, what?
Hey, yeah, I know. Something went wrong. Now, we think that a channel got full and closed, and I do have some evidence of that on my node. So it might have been an outbound channel that just got exhausted and wasn't, autopilot didn't do its job, for those who understand. And there was no other route or something like that. But that's how regular these payments are. So imagine you have an app and you just see money coming in the form of Satoshis every minute of the day, multiple entries. And then just imagine what we have to do as a group to magnify that and multiply it times 1,000.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden we're all in business. And, I'll run through the numbers. 100 million people in America listen to 1 hour of podcasts a day. We convert 1% of those 100 million people to donate or pledge and use one of the apps that are Lightning enabled. It's $1 million a day flowing through the ecosystem. Get your slice of it today while stocks last.
Well,
And I'm very happy to say that I've had ongoing conversations with Roy Scheinfeld from Breeze Wallet. Those guys are heads down and they are working on integrating podcasting into their wallet. I think they may even release it just as a podcast app that happens to have a wallet. That would be the ultimate, I think.
I talked a little bit about that on Frederick's show. Did I understand correctly that they have, that they're going to do a release like a skeleton app or the source code for that?
Yeah, they will.
Okay.
Yeah, the integration for it. So they've already, the Breeze wallet code is already on GitHub and available. Okay. So I guess they're going to create wrappers and stuff. And I believe they're all doing it in HTML or maybe even React. I don't know what the hell they're using.
We need to get back with Paul and Evan over Sphinx and see. And we haven't talked to those guys in a while. We need to hook up and have a meeting with them and just see where everything's at.
No, Dave, what are you talking about? We need to bring them on the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm an idiot.
Yes. Of course. Yes. Boost. We need a boost sound. I need a boost.
Is that verbal boost? Yeah.
We need a boost sound. Let me see if I can get a boost sound effect.
There's got to be an audible boost on the, because this is too fun.
Let's see. Boost sound effects. Hold on a second. Let me see what I got here. Since we're mucking around anyway, let's just see if I got a boost. So I need to boost. Yes, boost, baby.
Yeah. What was that preview?
We need to
get Jennifer Buchanan to do a boost sound over the top of it.
You've been boosted.
Yeah, something like that. That's awesome.
So now the beauty of what they're working on is they have an app that is, I think it's a Neutrino app. So it's a very lightweight Bitcoin Lightning node that functions by itself and has key send outbound enabled. So in order to receive Satoshis, you need to have something that's online all the time. But to send them, you only have to be connected to be able to send to whatever the whatever receiving node is programmed for the value split. So this scales infinitely, at least until we break the Lightning network, but it scales infinitely for people to use. And so even if you're a podcaster, maybe have a look at voltage.io or Raspi Blitz or Sphinx Chat for them. I mean, you can use that perfectly fine to use a node that you have over there to receive your Satoshis on.
I did a Voltage node, a Light node this past week.
Yeah. What was the experience?
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
Isn't that fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
Once you understand.
The Light node works fine. Yeah.
Oh, see, I got the full blown big node. I didn't know at the time. I'm just like, I'll just take the big node because I figured we got big stuff coming in.
Well, I almost did the big node. And then I was like, you know, I want to get the Light Neutrino node just for a test, just to see how it works.
Right.
So far it's been rock solid. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Graham's done something good over there. I like it.
By the way, you know, we talked a little bit about Substack last week, mm-hmm. and we were wondering how they do fees.
Mm-hmm.
I found there's a really good article called The Substackerati from the Columbia Journalism Review. And it says in here that they take 10%. It says the guys that started. By the way, it's a very interesting article. I'm putting it in the show notes
right now.
And it's worth a full read. It's very long, but it's worth reading for a lot of different reasons.
This is the Cleo Chang article.
Yes, exactly. Yep, right. Now, part of this article feels defensive of the J Squad. It feels like a journalist trying to poo-poo, shoot one over the bow.
Poo-poo.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's also some political. Anyway, there's a very interesting article, but she says that it says the guys talking about the founders of Substack devised a system of taking a 10% cut from subscriptions. Stripe, the credit card service that processes the fees, would take 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction, which they felt tied them to the riders.
Huh.
So I don't, it's a little difficult to decipher if she means 10% cut and then Stripe is an additional 2.9% or I'm not sure how they, but anyway, it's 10% minimum, perhaps 12.9%. So I don't know. But that's not, so that you do that compared to the value block, and there's potentially nothing if you don't want it to be, or, you know, if you're stingy, Or if you want to, you know, if you're willing to split out some for other things like the podcast app and the index or, you know, all these other things, there's other ways to slice it, but it's definitely well south of 10%.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. Oh, my goodness.
You don't have to worry about being deplatformed. It's well, cheaper, and you don't have to worry about being deplatformed.
And it helps create an ecosystem.
Yeah. Yep.
It really does. And I think, if we start with lightning payments for work that's being done and for value splits and credits, you know, it's priming the pump. And I'm just seeing this machine is rolling. It is just running. It's like, as an entrepreneur, there's different moments and I've started several companies and taken one public. And so there's all these moments that you kind of come to recognize. And when all of a sudden you spin the wheel and the flywheel keeps going, I mean, this is an incredible moment. And that's what's taking place here. The flywheel is spinning in perpetual motion by itself. Okay, we had some kind of slowdown the other day between 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. But the thing is spinning. It's really happening. And all we need is just more apps that support this and the podcasters, and everything will come. I mean, the Bitcoin guys, they're having a ball.
Yeah.
The Bitcoin podcasts they're jacked, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So I looked it up. There's 10 podcasts total with Value Block enabled in the index so far. And so, I mean, if you just imagine, you know, if you go, you know, if you multiply that times, you know, if you go up to 100 podcasts, you know, well, then you're talking about all of a sudden that's meaningful money that begins to support, like for our standpoint, begins to support. Well, let's just go up to 1,000 podcasts. Now you're talking about $700 a month. Now you're talking about being able to cover all the hosting fees, all of our stuff,
yep,
all of the infrastructure with 1,000 podcasts. And that's at 1%. And if the app takes 1%, now the app guys are getting paid significant.
Yep.
I mean, a decent amount of money. I mean, like that's what there's no, if you take somebody like Hypercatcher,
right,
he would love to be getting $500 a month.
Sure. And he can get it.
That's worth his time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
So we'll publish that. I think we also should add to the new podcast apps. Maybe somewhere we have to surface. I know you've made an endpoint for it. We need to surface the value block enabled shows.
Yeah. Trent is redoing the website.
Ah, drug Plato to the rescue.
Yeah. I had a Jitsi meeting with him the other day. And, a great guy, man.
I've had coffee with him here in town. He's a fabulous guy.
Oh, he's in Austin? That's right.
Yeah, he recently moved here. You know, he's like younger than my daughter, but you wouldn't know it. I mean, the guy is just like, what? He's very worldly, super smart, and very, very talented.
He's an old soul.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's it.
Yeah, but he's redoing the website, and so it's not going to be a major change, but he's just like restructuring it and reformatting some stuff. So I'm going to let him finish that first before I make any big changes to it. And then once he gets that done, then I'm going to put up do the feeds page and all that.
So let's schedule Paul and Evan from Sphinx Chat for next week if they can make it.
Well, we already got next week.
Oh, who do we have next week? Who do we have next week, Dave?
The guys from Transistor.
Oh, cool. Okay, right. Then we'll do it after then. Do we have another week before Christmas?
We got to figure out what to do about Christmas, because Christmas Friday falls on the 25th. It is Christmas Day. So we need to pre-record something, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll think of what to do.
I wonder if we could get James Cridlin on.
If it's Christmas for us, it'll be New Year's in Australia. So,
yeah,
I'd love to have James on. I'd very much want to have James on. Okay, we got
6 p.m. his time is no 6 p.m. our time is 9 a.m. his time.
Oh, well, we can do it at 6 p.m.
Yeah, I think
we could do that,
especially if it's an off day.
Yeah,
like if it's not a Friday.
Yeah, we can do that. So we'll work on James, but so we got Transistor, next week, and then can we do Paul and Evan? I want to get Paul and Evan on
the week after. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, if they can, and then
did you mean my wine?
Yeah, you did. You
want? I want to have Paul and Evan.
Okay, Adam, we can have Paul and Evan on.
I want to talk namespace with them.
Look, you have to clean your room first.
Hey, my room is clean as a whistle.
It is, man. That picture of your studio was bomb.
Yeah. I mean, I realized later that people look at it like, okay, it looks cool, but they don't really understand. And this is custom made for me for the way I set up my gear, which is portable. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's so perfect. I'm so happy here.
No, I like that they, it was those LED string lights and all that stuff.
That's the cheapest addition to my studio. And I have a little remote control. So I like the blue, kind of purplish blue harem look. When I'm doing, often when I do show, I'll do a little orange to give, because it gives you energy, and you can do it all. You can do it all from the remote control. That was literally like $20.
You for keep those it strings. Dim in there all the time.
All the time. I'm the guy that has the dark studio. I don't want the outside in, so I can totally. I mean, my space right now is. The screen in front of me to the left is where I see your meter go up and down. That represents you. And to the right is jingles or, you know, like this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just in my little world, man. I don't see anything outside of it. I love it.
No, that's perfect. I am currently podcasting from my hallway. I'm sitting in the floor.
This is one of your better studios, actually.
Does it sound all right?
It sounds very good. Sounds very nice. And I got a lot less of the fire truck going by this time.
Yeah, I'm perfectly enclosed in here now.
Now it's good.
Yeah. So I've also got Todd. I talked to Mike
from Blueberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got Todd and Mike are going to be on with us in January.
Ah, super. Oh man. Yeah. Now we're cooking with gas.
And we got to get Martin on.
Yes, absolutely. Well, everybody, we need to get everybody on.
It's a party.
It's just like a party, exactly. All right. I think we had a quorum. We can close it out. Yes. Anything else you need that I can conjure out of air for you?
I need to talk about the Amazon outage, but I'm not going to do that today. We're going to talk about that next week, I guess. Huh. The next time we have a non-guest, we will talk about the Amazon outage because there's a lot to learn.
Ah. Okay, well, that is important to do. So let's make sure we remember that, because I have my own theories about the Amazon outage, which may surprise you.
I have a printout of their postmortem.
Ooh,
that is marked up.
Well, we'll save that for the next show.
Yeah,
I think that's great. All right, Dave, have a great weekend, my brother.
You too, man.
And everybody else, this has been Podcasting 2.0, episode number 14. We'll see you again next Friday. Take it easy, Dave.
All right, see you, man.
All right, everybody. See you next time, Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.